You're listening to KNKX. Every week, we tell stories from around the Northwest on our show, Sound Effect. There's always a theme, and coming up, we're going to hear about unintended consequences. 88.5's Ashley Gross has the story.
You know how laws are sometimes named after somebody? The Amber Alert is named after an actual girl named Amber. In Washington State, since 1995, we've had these laws called the Becca Laws, and they were named after a girl named Rebecca Hedman. It's actually a very sad story. She had been skipping school a lot. She'd been running away. Her parents wound up sending her to a drug treatment facility in Spokane, and she ran away from that. And she wound up murdered at the age of 13. So her parents pushed for the state to pass laws to help protect kids who are at risk. And part of that was aimed at kids who had been missing a lot of school.
Well, I'm Gabriel Spitzer. This is Sound Effect, and I'm here with KNKX's Ashley Gross. And Ashley, I guess these Becca laws did a lot of things, including a few that weren't anticipated. And in fact, our theme today on the show is unintended consequences. And so what were some of the unintended consequences of these laws meant to keep kids in school?
Right. Well, in some ways, they were good in that they required school districts to file a petition to the juvenile court when kids had a certain number of unexcused absences. And it created a system for keeping track of kids and making sure that they were going to school. But the downside was that if kids don't comply, they can get sent to juvenile detention facilities. So they wind up in a detention center next to kids who have committed, you know, serious crimes in some cases. I spoke with Tina Orwell. She's a Democratic state representative, and she's a social worker by training.
Unfortunately, there's nothing therapeutic about detention. And we know a lot of these young adults have trauma histories, mental health, drug, alcohol. Maybe they're behind in schools. And so we need to match what they need with what's going on with them and not have a punitive response.
So what are they doing? How are they trying to shift away from that punitive kind of criminal justice model?
This has been a big focus of the state in recent years because Washington leads the country in locking up kids for these non-criminal offenses, like not going to school. And so Orwell sponsored legislation in 2016 to have school districts, in conjunction with the court systems, create these things called community truancy boards. They're basically a group of adults, some school officials, maybe a representative from the juvenile court system, community volunteers, who meet with the student and his or her parents to hear what the issues are and come up with solutions and work out a plan so that the kid, if he or she complies, doesn't have to go to the court system.
Well, it sounds like a lot of adults. I mean, I'm kind of picturing like the adults lined up at a long table interrogating this lonely kid sitting in the chair. I mean, does it look like that?
Well, kind of. I went to one, and it does have a little bit of that feeling, but it also in some ways it feels like group therapy. I went to Bethel High School in Spanaway in Pierce County, and I'm going to take you along for the ride. There in one of the rooms at the school, the adults were lined up at tables arranged in a square, and they were there to talk about a 16-year-old boy named Ezra. They had a little powwow before he came in to go over the facts. Fact number one is that Ezra has been missing a lot of school.
40 days.
40?
Oh, wow.
Is it just started this year? Because I see he's an advanced math and advanced humanities student.
The folks here are mostly employed by the school district, assistant principals who work in other schools, a math teacher, a counselor. There's also a probation officer from Pierce County Juvenile Court. They go over Ezra's grades, how many credits he's earned, the fact that he lives with his mom. Then Ezra and his mom, Kim, enter the room. And just a note, we're only using their first names because Ezra's had some mental health struggles and would like to keep that private.
Good afternoon, and thank you for being here today. My name is Chad Honig. I'm the executive director of secondary schools in the Bethel School District.
Honig is the one who runs the community truancy board meeting. Everyone goes around the room and introduces themselves, and then Honig gets down to business. This is not a courtroom, but it starts out feeling pretty serious.
So we're here today because, Ezra, you're required to be at school. Okay, and we have policies and laws in place that tell us that we have to do certain actions based when a student is not attending school. So I'm going to give you this. This is the petition for juvenile court for violations of not being here.
This isn't about getting you into trouble. This is about getting you to school because that's what everybody in this room wants.
Jesse Bell is a truancy probation officer with Pierce County Juvenile Court. She explains that they'll come up with a contract of things Ezra has to do. If he doesn't comply, his truancy petition will move forward in the court.
Right now it's at a stay. A stay tells us, hey, we still want to work with this kid. We still think he's got potential to be able to work with him at the school. But the minute you say, I'm not going to do that, that's when they can lift it and send you to court.
With all that judicial system language out of the way, the tone shifts. Now it's Ezra's turn to explain what he's struggling with.
So Ezra, can you tell us what's preventing you from coming to school?
Well, it started last year, I guess. I went through a really dark period in my life with depression and suicide. And a lot of that was caused by school, not like bullying or anything, but like anxiety, stress, that type of thing.
He explains he was enrolled in a rigorous college prep program called Cambridge, but got out of it because he was overwhelmed by the workload and didn't feel connected with the other kids. Jesse Bell, the probation officer, locks eyes with him and leans in. She doesn't really seem like a court official anymore. Now she's like a mama bear.
I just want to let you know that it's okay to reduce your schedule anytime. You've got to take care of your mental health. I know exactly the situation that you're in. Because you are a bright kid and you think you can cover a lot in a short, very amount of time, it's okay if you don't. Nobody's going to say, oh, look at him. It's not going to happen.
What's striking about this is the concentrated attention of all these school officials and the probation officer focused on this one student. A big public high school can seem like an anonymous place. This is an effort to make sure this young man's struggles are recognized and addressed. Community truancy boards are pretty new in the Bethel School District. They've had them for a few years, and Chad Honig is new to his role. But he used to be an elementary school principal, and he saw truant kids get handled in the court system.
We'd have some students who would comply because I don't know that they necessarily came up with a real plan. They would issue some sanctions. They could be anything from fining the student to holding them or detaining them.
He says from his experience, handling truancy in the courts didn't really improve attendance. He says this kind of meeting leads to creative problem solving. Sometimes a kid needs help with transportation. In one case, a neighbor took part in the meeting and has helped bring the student to school. In another case, the school bought an alarm clock for the student.
With the specific intent to have it across the room so that student would have to get up and turn that alarm clock off.
It's funny that something as simple as that, like maybe that could have prevented a kid from going to the court system before.
Absolutely, and that's the whole goal of the Community Truancy Board is if we can identify those barriers early on prior to getting to the court, the better for the student, the better for the school itself.
Of course, it's rare to have a simple solution. Kids miss school for lots of really difficult reasons. Sometimes they have to take care of younger siblings. Sometimes they're homeless. Some suffer from depression. Ezra says he hasn't been feeling as depressed lately, but has still been skipping school.
I think that I just need to like to break the habit that I got into of not viewing school as important as it is. And same with the work in school. That's kind of why my grades aren't the best.
So tell us about that habit.
I want to know what that habit is.
The Xbox, is it is that
no,
part
it's
of it?
Because of like, you know, I'd be sad, so I wouldn't want to go to school. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just like, not really coasted on it, but like, you know, kind of just let that, you know, get me into a bad
repetitive
mindset.
Not going.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what are you doing at home when you're not at school?
Sleeping most of the time.
His mom, Kim, says she's made lots of appointments with psychiatrists, but Ezra refuses to go. When she can't haul him out of bed and has to go to work, she takes the router and Xbox controller away so he's not just playing video games. Everyone in the room starts to come up with solutions. They all agree he has to get into counseling for his depression.
We have counseling. So we said that was a non. That's kind of an automatic.
Yeah. They put in his contract that he has to see a doctor and check in regularly with the school counselor. They also prescribe hanging out with a good friend.
Do you have some friends in mind that would support you with that?
Jared. His name is Jared. And definitely, like, both our moods get lifted when we're, you know, hanging out.
So we can work with him and his family and just let him know that you guys are going to support each other.
After the meeting, Ezra and his mom, Kim, signed the contract. Ezra says it was hard to talk about his depression with all those adults, but he says he's grateful to have come up with this plan.
It helps me not screw over my life, because school is pretty important. So definitely finding a way to help me get back on track is a positive.
Kim says she's been trying to get her son the help he needs. Having the community truancy board back her up is helpful, but having all these people delve into their lives was a little daunting.
I've been doing this with him by myself, and I tend to kind of keep things to myself. I don't really like people knowing my personal business or family business, but it's gotten to the point where this was what we needed.
The hope from Washington lawmakers and school officials is that this kind of community truancy board will keep kids like Ezra from ever having to appear in court. Of course, it requires students to follow through. So far since the meeting, Kim says her son has been going to school.
That story from 88.5's Ashley Gross.